Dr. Thomas Sexton will be back on Gesundheit with Jacobus this Saturday morning. We'll continue our journey through the history of medical applications, practices, and failures regarding the healing of chronic illness. Dr. Sexton has been in the healing field for more than 43 years. His insights and linking both theories and therapies together have been inspiring and helpful to many.
It's Gesundheit with Jacobus.
Welcome to Gesundheit with Jacobus, Health Talk Radio, integrating allopathic and all-natural medicine one show at a time. Here is your host, Jacobus Hollowine.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. It is a beautiful Saturday out. I'm sure that if you are up because you're listening, you can see the bright light coming through your curtains or through your windows, knowing that the sun is shining brightly and it looks like it's going to be a wonderful day. It is June 29, 2019. And that means that summer should be in full swing. It has been taking a while to get there, but hopefully we can maintain this so that the flowers can grow and that we we can enjoy sitting outside and enjoy and really spend some time outdoors without any stress for hail, etc. Anyway, good morning to you. This is a program about health, healing, and healthy lifestyles. We invite the experts. I should say we, but it should be me. I keep saying we because Chuck used to be here in the studio, and it was so automatic that I would say we.
We're all together anyway.
We're all together again.
That's more healthy than I or me.
Which is true. Yeah, that's true.
Ours.
We are, in a way. I can see it now. Okay, we have the experts on, chat about things that are important, either in the experts of health, healing, and healthy lifestyles, either in their work, research, a book they've written, or just a passion that they have they would like to share with us. So just want to let you know, as I have to do always, FCC rules, we are not here to diagnose, treat, or cure. We're just sharing information and education, hopefully bringing a little entertainment. It's all about, can you pick up something that you can use practically in your own life on a daily basis? And so please see the specialist after the show. Give him a call. We give out the phone numbers. We give you the information that you need. Or see somebody of your own choice. Perhaps you say, well, this really triggers my interest to the point where I want to read more books about this topic. Go on the internet, find out more information for your personal need or for somebody close to you. So I really appreciate you tuning in today. It's going to be really an exciting show. Dr. Sexton and I had just had breakfast, and we had some very interesting conversation, and I'm excited about today's program. So Dr. Thomas Sexton, he is a licensed acupuncturist, has 43 years experience in the healing arts, and an extensive background in oriental medicine, acupuncture, and bioenergetic therapies, with a comprehensive understanding of natural healing modalities from Europe. Thomas is one of the first class of graduates and nationally certified acupuncturist in America, and attended the New England School of Acupuncture in Boston back in 1976. Hence, he has been a part of the early history, and he has studied with many of the early major players in assisting acupuncture and Chinese herbology gain a major foothold here in the U.S. Now, his clinic is called Blue Sky Healing Arts Clinic, and the website is Center, Blue Sky. So you go to the website, blueskyhealingartscenter.com, and that is located on 19th North 10th Avenue, Suite 2, 19th North 10th Avenue, Suite 2. And the telephone number, very simple, 406-522-9733. Now you're going to have to pull that microphone close to you if
Which
you don't
one?
Mind.
This one?
Yeah, let's use that one.
This one?
Perfect.
Okay, are we on?
We are happy and on.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Jacobus.
The applause is still dying down.
Yeah.
People are slowly taking their seats again.
Yes. We had a very interesting conversation over breakfast about what we see going on, what he sees coming in the store, what I'm seeing now in my practice and over the 40 years, 43 years or whatever, working one-on-one with people. You know, the general trends, the general patterns. I like to look at patterns. I'm more in the Taoist philosophy of Oriental medicine, where observation is the really, you know, a key element. You know, the old shamanistic traditions of, you know, paying attention to the signs and the symbols. Whoops.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
The signs and the symbols of your environment, it's in relationship to who we are, where we are a part of heaven and earth. The Chinese imbalance of disease comes from not being in harmony with your environment, not being in harmony with yourself and the five elements. So from that perspective, I like to watch and see and observe. I mean, it's like I just bought a two-bedroom condo. And, you know, it's a new suburb behind Wrestler there, but it's like, I ride there, and the first thing I noticed, there's just no birds, you know?
No birds. Yet.
I mean, yeah. For the longest time, I mean, I recently, I'd see one occasionally, a raven or, you know, a hawk or something, but I mean, in the area, I mean, generally, and so, okay, well, there's no trees. All right, so I bought some fruit trees, because I like fruit trees, and I have a little backyard, and start planting trees, and berry trees, and Saskatoons, and so, you know, I like trees and I like to grow things. And so it's like, all right, what's the greatest thing? I provide an environment for them to come and participate in. And
yes.
Now I have birds coming into the environment. Robins getting, you know, I mean, they're fluctuating, but it's just a matter of the environment.
Yeah.
So and the same in the body. You relate what you see outside, inside. I mean, having worked with psychic and spiritual healers, and you know how we look at life and how they look at life and how they're in a different dimensional conscious or awareness about things.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's like Carmoo, he was an old car mechanic, and he would relate, you know, what's going on with your car, you know, I mean, it's generally what's going on in your body.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's a relationship, you know, my car's all beat up right now, and I'm pretty beat up, you know, physically, you know, and so, you know, there's a direct relationship,
yes.
You know, duct tape only goes so far,
yeah.
You know, Band-Aids only go so far. So how do we heal or come into awareness, or what is it we're looking for in life that brings happiness, joy, abundance? You know, because the hidden factor for most diseases is the stress factor.
Mm.
And the stress factor then combines, but what sets up the stress factor? A trauma, an incident, a situation. And these are old childhood patterns that, you know, develop. And then we have to develop a strategy as a child or the ego does to survive. And as a result of this patterning, what I'm seeing now for people in their mid-40s to 60s, I mean, they're unwinding these childhood patterns in order to feel more whole or healthy. They're working on themselves. So the only thing you can control is what's within you.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you have. I mean, everything, I mean, the family, I mean, mothers can't, oh, I got to do this in order for me to relax.
Yes.
You know, and so that only goes so far, and then you collapse and you're exhausted. But I got it all done, but I can relax now.
Yeah.
And so how we go about our lives is really important as far as the long-term management of stress and controlling the diseased element, because we come into conflict with ourselves about feelings, emotions, what's going on with certain circumstances. We're in denial. I mean, and so really life is about acceptance. It's about, you know, letting go of resistance and adapting. And this is how I see having, you know, spent, I don't know, most of my life in pursuit of, you know, healing and healing modalities. It's like, okay, now it's time for integration of all of that information. And how do we integrate? You know, we go to healers, we go to doctors, we're looking for solutions and answers, take a pill, take a herbal formula, you know, help our quality of life. But what are we looking for? You know, peace of mind, happiness, more energy,
yeah,
joy,
yeah.
You know?
Well, it's interesting what you say when you said all you can control is what is inside of you. I've heard the expression, you cannot give what you don't have. You cannot give love if you don't feel that love inside of you. You cannot give a happiness to somebody if you're not happy. You can, you know, that's why it's interesting how many comedians make people laugh, but they're usually sad clowns. You know, there is a certain sadness and struggle in their own life. Many times they move into drugs or alcohol and their careers are cut short. And it is because they really know how to make people laugh, but there isn't, it's not from the inside. And so there is a conflict there.
But also they're putting themselves out there in a very vulnerable way. You know, comedians or anybody goes on stage, you know, I mean, you're out there and you're in the moment and you're allowing, you know, people to have insights into your heart, into your mind, and into your awareness. And it was interesting. I was talking to I won't mention her name, but she had been on Survivor, the TV show,
yeah,
probably twice, maybe three times. She knew the producer. And anyway, and she had brought up to the producer the concept that, you know, there's some of these people afterwards, they need psychotherapy. They need help, you know, because, you know, they show, you know, like a Mormon individual, you know, no alcohol, no drugs, brought up very, you know, Puritarian, your environment and very family oriented, goes on the Survivor, you know, within 2 years, he's a hardcore alcoholic.
Wow.
You know, and drinking two bottles of vodka a day and, you know, spending a whole other, what's going on here? And, you know, watching people in public, you know, and then the media and all the focused attention of other people onto these individuals. I mean, that's a lot of energy to handle.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, I mean, there are other factors involved, how vulnerable we are to this, how developed our ego is in relationship to the soul. And the ego I was interesting because everybody in meditation is spiritual thing, you know, oh, you know, you separate yourself from your ego, you know, you breathe and you come into a higher awareness and you allow all this and, you know, amalgamation of the ego to the soul and, you know, come into awareness of peace. You know, it's, we're not in conflict with one another.
Right.
I mean, the ego can be an errant child. I want control of this, that situation. It gets, and it's like this. So, yeah, what can I do to help you? What can I do to assist your situation? Because you don't want to be in conflict with yourself.
Yeah.
But the ego wants to control and dominate the nature.
Yes.
You know, and we see that out picturing in all sorts of industries yes. and all sorts of how we deal with the natural environment. We're not living in harmony with it. And as a result, we're a very diseased society.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because that's what really struck me working in Washington, D.C., working in a very high-end alternative medical dental facility. But I'm dealing with chronic degenerative disease every single day. Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, MS, Parkinson's. And I'm going, why are these people so sick?
Interesting.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. Well, first thing, they're not in touch with nature. Their lifestyle and what they're doing, they're not really involved with it, you know? I mean, as far as even just gardening or having plants in the house or just, you know, some connection, because we're all connected. We're not separate. When we feel separate, isolated, and alone, that's when disease starts to manifest. So we isolate from family members, our work, and then we develop a diagnosis. Oh, we've developed a diagnosis. Oh, cancer, AIDS, all of a sudden, boom. Something happens in the brain. This has been measured scientifically. Trauma, incidences of the shock, what it does in the lesions in the brain, how it sets up patterns of disease. This has been studied by a physician, German doctor. His name is Hammer, Dr. Hammer, H-A-M-E-R. And he did CT scans, and he developed with his ego the Dirk Hammer syndrome. But it's a serious acute traumatic and isolating conflict shock experience that he would actually chart. He would see the patterns in the brain of shock, trauma, emotional disturbances, and then at the moment of the shock or conflict short circuit, a predetermined place of the brain, there appears these photographed and computerized tomography or CT scan looks like a concentrated ring on a shooting target, or like the surface of the water after you throw a stone in there. It would have effects on the brain.
Kind of.
And if the conflict becomes resolved, the CT image changes and edema develops, and then finally a scar tissue appears.
Huh.
So it's fascinating because he related all these shocks and traumas and put it together in CT scans, and he could predict the nature of the illness this person would develop as a result of what he was seeing in these CT scans. It's really, really interesting, you know, I mean, because, you know, something like, you know, kidney disease, it's not wanting to live, or water or fluid conflict in the body. I mean, so he started to relate the emotional trauma to the physical disease. And now we see on the horizon, I mean, it's everywhere, prolific on Time Magazine, the new mindfulness. You see it in a lot of the emotional code work that you're seeing, conflict resolution, but people are getting in touch with their feelings. You know, I mean, in my father's generation, I mean, my parents didn't express, you know, I mean, the only time I saw them happy when they're drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes, you know, they got through World War II,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah,
that's how they celebrated life. And I'm going, gosh, that's the only time I see them happy, but they're not expressing true emotions. I mean, joy would come out in kind of convoluted, ways. And so they would have these emotional explosions because it would build up inside, but it created disease. I mean, my parents suffered various diseases as a result, I think, of their emotional suppression.
Yeah. So, well, when you bring that up, we often talk over here about the history of the original medicine, former medicine, the Chinese, the Ayurvedic medicine modalities. They've been around for thousands of years. It's easy to say, thousands of years. We're talking here about the emotion code. We're talking about the body-mind connection, the body-mind-spirit connection. Do you, in your studies of Eastern medicine, see that that those cultures, the people doing the medical work over there, were also connecting the acupuncture points with the emotions, or certain diseases, disorders with the emotions? And has that been faded out because of Western medicine, and is it now making a resurgence?
Originally, when you would see a physician, generally they were just paid to be part of the village or you know, I mean, paid to keep everybody well.
Yes.
So, I mean, first thing, quality of water, sanitation, that was a big issue. You know, nutrition was an issue. So, I mean, first they'd talk. Okay, what's going on with the family? You have some problems. You know, we just talk. I mean, that's what friends do.
Yes.
Talk. I've got this thing, and we talk and we'll work things out. It's always good to have, you know, a good friend. It can be a pet. It could be a dog. It could be a cat. You can talk to it, you know, but you have a relation. People with elderly that do better with a pet. But I mean, you first have conversation.
Uh-huh.
We talk, we connect, you know, we have a relationship. You have certainly experienced everything I've experienced, but to what degree? Meaning that that's what connects humanity.
Yes.
I mean, we all been abandoned, abused, misused, mistreated, criticized, condemned. I mean, we empathize because we've had experiences with that, you know, and so to what degree, you know, is how much trauma, how much lesion in the brain, how much neurological, you know, how we adapt to that. I mean, the studies in the gulag camps and people who survived them, how they survived them, what they created, alternative realities or whatever we need to survive. And we do that as children too. We create alternative realities in order to survive our environment, but we choose to come into these situations to heal them. We adapt. And once we start to take self-responsibility that we're taking on this energy, but a lot of it's not us. The thought pattern, okay, how our parents dealt with stuff, you know, and then we adapted our own egos and survival techniques in order to receive love, or, you know, what do we have to do to manipulate the situation in order for us to get what we need as children.
Yeah.
And so these patterns evolve and they start to develop a chronic energetic pattern in the body. So as a physician and someone comes to me, I talk to them, okay, well, I'll just give you some herbs because it's just the nutritional stuff. The last thing they used to do would be acupuncture because it's a very violent, I mean, in some sense of the word, I mean, this is where Dr. Bache and the flower remedies and emotional work that he did,
Bach or Bache?
Bache. I call him Bache because he's Welsh. But they call
B-A-C-H, him Bach. Bach, yeah.
Yeah, they call him Bach, but that's German. But he was Welsh, so it's actually pronounced, I think, Bache.
Oh.
Flower remedy guy, you know, I mean, he was great. He developed 12 different nozodes based on the bowels, predisposition. It was like an original vaccine kind of concept out of bowel nozodes. And he treated disease very successfully, but gave it up because he didn't like sticking needles in people. Mm. But acupuncture needles are not hypodermic. They don't cut tissue. They push tissue aside. Originally, they used bones. The Cherokee Native Americans used rose thorns. They'd stick them in points, they'd heat them up, and they'd create results. Well, what's really going on there? The needle enters the point, and yes, very powerful. Once it's underneath the skin, you can't unconsciously or consciously control the reaction. In other words, something happens.
Huh.
What is that that's going on? That's the mystery. That's what NIH, that's what they can't understand. I mean, they know the effect. It stimulates endorphins in the brain, regulates organ functions. They've endorsed it for, I think, now 10 different conditions. They see good results with it. Mm-hmm. They don't know how it works. Okay, so the North Koreans wanted to know, I mean, they injected radioactive dye in the acupuncture point. It's not the nervous system. It's not the circulatory system. It's not the lymph system.
Yeah.
So what is it? I put a needle in there, but okay, in the summertime, it's right on the surface, the energy. I'm connecting to chi.
Yeah.
I see you have a caller or
someone coming.
No, okay.
I don't think. Oh, yes, I do.
But in any case, so when we connect with the chi, so if there was a real problem with a lower back problem, yeah, we use a certain acupuncture points, but yes, there's no separation of the mind, emotion, and the physical. And that's the beauty of Chinese medicine is understanding, you know, you don't see this specialist for this problem and that specialist and think they're not related.
Correct.
And that's the dysfunction
that
of modern medicine.
Yes.
It's so schizophrenic.
That's
it's
right.
Not connecting any of the parts.
Yes.
You know, how you feel. But the new wave of medical thinking and the new wave of medical doctors is like they're inviting Reiki masters and acupuncturists in the Michigan State Medical University. This is heresy. I mean, but we need to come to some sort of, and at the same time, in naturopathic schools, I mean, they're endorsing the use of antibiotics, Difluc and Nystatin, you know, which are traditional orthodox medicine.
Antifungal.
Yeah, and this is heresy as far as naturopathic medicine philosophy that I know of. And yeah, so we're all being affected, and it's creating this kind of conflict of, there's something going on here that's really fascinating to me. Mm. You know, in regard to the evolution of consciousness in the whole medical paradigm and how we're going to shift. And it's through people's inner change that they're doing on themselves and bringing that conscious awareness.
That's right.
And that's what's changing the medical system. That's what happened in Europe. They wouldn't go to people who didn't practice some sort of or had some sort of alternative or complementary background where they can synergistically put together. And because they come from a different constitutional, you know, they used herbs, they had apothecaries, you know, all the villagers, homeopathy, very ingrained in German thinking. And so they were adapting. And so how do you come and amalgamate? And that's where Chinese medicine started to get scientific in Germany. Dr. Vohl, he wanted to measure the points. If they are real, they have energy. So he would measure the energy of the points and then be able to diagnose diseases depending on what was going on with the various points that he was measuring.
Yeah.
Whether inflammatory mm-hmm. or degenerative. Mm-hmm. And then we start to find remedies that help to complement that and support that.
Yeah.
Change.
Wow. A lot of information coming our way. I love it. This is what we wanted when we were talking before the show. We want to really express the integration between the different forms of medicine. There is a caller calling in. Caller, do us a favor, call back right after the break, because we have a hard break coming up and it doesn't give you enough time to answer your question. So Dr. Thomas Sexton, my guest this morning, Blue Sky Healing Arts Center.com, 522-9733 is his number. We will be right back. Stay tuned, please.
Gesundheit with Jacobus every Saturday morning from 8 to 11.